11:38. My guest, Dan Turner, the Dick Pomeranz program. It's 38 degrees. Good morning on KSTP.
Hi, Dick.
Hi.
Real great show.
Thank you.
The whole day. First of all, Stan, I was wondering if you knew any reason why Ron Majors left.
Well, Ron, as a matter of fact, many people don't know this, but Ron came to KSTP in 1974 while he was en route to Chicago. He was just finishing up an anchor stint in San Francisco. And there, I guess there were a couple of prospects in Chicago, and the plane put down here, and he had in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and he had a discussion with station management here, and the offer was fine. And so he was, he always had this in his mind that he wanted to go up to Chicago or New York or L.A., and he had a good stint here. It was about 7 years,
mm-hmm.
And Ron is a very private individual. He and I enjoyed a relationship that was basically, staff person to staff person.
You weren't friends.
Pardon me?
You weren't friends.
We weren't social friends. No, we didn't, in a sense, run in the same circles, that kind of thing. We worked opposite ends of the clock, for starters, but Ron pretty well kept to himself, and his motives were his own to know, and he shared those with very few people, but he's a very bright person, and I'm sure he's going to do very well in Chicago. And just as a quick aside, I think the fact that Bill Curtis has left that market now, he was the big kingpin from the CBS affiliate. Now that he's out of the marketplace, I think it's an even better opportunity for Ron to grow down there.
Appreciate the call, sir.
And a couple more questions?
Okay, go ahead.
How much pressure do you get, if you get any, from Mr. Hubbard? Does he have anything to do with much of the programming and stuff, your news?
Well, Mr. Hubbard, Stanley Hubbard, there are two Mr. Hubbards, of course. The senior Hubbard, who is the founding father of Hubbard Broadcasting, KSTP, and his son, who basically runs the day-to-day operation here. They are immensely interested in what goes on their air, as well they should be, and their input is constructive, is positive.
Call you up and say, hey, Stan, say this on the air?
No.
Which is, I think, the thrust.
And he never did that when I was news director. He would give me story ideas, and
sure.
It was not implied that if you don't run this, you're in trouble, Turner. Not at all. But,
right.
But more often than not, sometimes he threw me some clinkers. I wouldn't, we wouldn't develop them, but more often than not, his contacts and his awareness, it's incredible that man is a voracious, I wish I could read like he reads. He can scan. He's a speed reader, and he has this quality of listening to you, Dick, and he can be reading a memo at the same time, but he's tuned into both. I don't know how you develop that quality, but he has to. The man lives in a maelstrom, in a vortex. He's right in the middle of a tremendously exciting and growing industry. Never too busy, though, to tell you that that worked out well or that didn't go too well. But if you respect a person, sir, then that's no problem.
Third question, sir.
Okay, and this is my last question. I'll hang up and I'll listen. I've always wanted, and Dick, you could answer this too. What does everybody do during a commercial?
I can't speak for television. I will speak for radio. Good question. I'll ask Dan what you do. What do you do during a break?
We gab. There's some water behind us on the set. You can wet your whistle a bit. Many times, the producer of the program up in the control room will want to talk with us and say, we're going to have to throw out page so-and-so because we're running short on time, or I want you to add a sentence here, or we just got word that we had that figure backwards or whatever. Please correct it when we come back. That sort of thing, more often than not. But basically, it's just a moment to relax, and Cindy and I or Dennis or Bob will just chat a bit about what's coming up.
Briefly put, sir, my breaks may involve the last one. Stan and I just talked for about 20 seconds, and I said to Debbie, my producer, who do we have tomorrow? And she said Grant Merritt, who's a DFL senatorial candidate, State Auditor Arnie Carlson, MCLU Representative Mike Mushlin. We're going to talk about the legal rights of children, and then James Brady, who's the author of The Press Lord. Sometimes, as during the course of this program, because I've only met Stan before, I've never met either John Bachman or Pat Miles, is just sitting back and talking, and frankly trying not to ask too many questions off the air for fear that I'll use them all up so I won't ask them on the air.
Yeah, if Debbie left on the microphones.
Yeah, it would be interesting.
Yeah, it would.
Let me take it a step further with you that one of those questions I did not ask you off the air, and I said, well, I better hold back.
Okay.
You grew up in the Twin Cities.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What do your friends see in you today? What do, when they turn on that television set, how do they react, do you think?
Hmm.
The people you knew in high school?
I'm going to see them all.
What do they think of Stanford?
I haven't seen too many of my classmates, Dick. I went to school in St. Louis Park, the Minneapolis suburb, but I'm a transplant over to the St. Paul side of the river. Still love Minneapolis, ladies and gentlemen, very much. But we're... Dick, I can't give you a complete answer to that because I've not seen many of my schoolmates, a couple. They're surprised. I had a nice letter from a chap who was a schoolmate, class of 62, Byron Zotali, now a Minneapolis attorney. He saw the Star article, and that brought us together. We will see each other during the class reunion this summer. I'm looking forward to it. But the few that I have run into or have heard from are surprised that this rather reserved young fellow who used to play clarinet in the concert orchestra at school, got into this business. I guess I was too private. I didn't tell them that I was interested in journalism.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Did you see yourself coming back to a reunion 20 years later and being famous?
Oh, not famous, no. I could see myself in this business, in journalism, because I just knew I had to be here in some capacity. I could not foresee. There's no way I had this gift of foresight. You dream. Sure you do.
Are you proud now going back 20 years later?
Yes, I feel some measure of fulfillment. I feel it's an honorable profession, Dick. I'm not ashamed of what I'm a part of. In fact, I'm proud of it.
Who said politics was an honorable profession? It wasn't Tennyson.
It wasn't Hitler.
Buchanan. No, Buchanan. Buchanan. John Buchanan said politics is an honorable profession.
Yeah.
Do you see a kinship between politics and television?
Well, I do. That's an interesting parallel, because I believe strongly that people in television news particularly are judged largely by the same criteria politicians are judged.
Fairly superficially, do you think?
No, partially cosmetically. Mm-hmm. Substantively, yes, but cosmetically, yes, too. I've covered campaigns, Dick, where there's no doubt in my mind that the better man lost because he or she was not as physically attractive.
They just didn't project.
They didn't project, yet they had the best situation or position papers on given issues.
Sure.
Far more thoughtful and complete than the other person did. So you have to be aware. Dick, maybe this would be an appropriate place to say, in our medium, it's not enough to be a solid journalist. It's a given. You have to be. You have to work at that. You have to strive for that. But you also have to be able to put the goods across. You have to be able to sell it, in a sense. There's nothing inimical about that either. You have to get people's attention. You have to earn that attention. And then once you have their attention, you can disseminate your information.
If you, on television, were a good communicator but not a good journalist, or if you were a good journalist or not a good communicator, which do you think would be more effective? Who do you think would be more effective, given those two extremes?
Well, the one who is a good communicator and not a journalist, if that person is a good actor and can be perceived as someone who is all-knowing and all-seeing, that person stands a better chance. But I think a person ought to strive to have the best of both worlds in that sense.
Good morning on KSTP.
Oh, good morning, Dick. I have two short questions.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot.
Stan.
Ralph, whatever. It's
Stan. If Stan were to marry Pat Miles, would that cause a conflict with his job?
That's an interesting question.
Dick, I was in no way prepared for this. I thought I had to brief myself thoroughly on all contingencies, and I was not ready
for
this.
Would there be a conflict in a case like that?
Oh,
could you have two anchors married to each other working for two different stations?
Gee, can you imagine the domestic quarrels at home?
Oh, I think they'd be terrific,
Your ratings are down, mine are up, it's...
Video marriage.
Video marriage, yeah. Which station would the kids watch? I can see all kinds of problems there, divided loyalties, a house divided. I don't think it would be a very practical kind of liaison. There are instances where there's been a person working in this station and married to someone at the other one.
Yes, but not anchor people.
Not anchor people.
Second
right.
question, Miss.
Yeah, and the second one, I have this preconceived notion that employees of TV as well as radio are sitting on a sort of a hot seat. I think maybe the boss, it seems like the boss comes up to you when you least expect, and he says, we have someone else to take over your responsibilities, and you're fired.
Do you concur with that?
No, that's too ma'am, with all due respect, that's oversimplifying the case.
Is it?
The boss does not determine that, really, ultimately. You do. The viewers do. And we know what you're saying and how you feel over a period of time by what you tell the rating services.
Ma'am, I appreciate the call. Good morning on KSTP.
Yes, Stan, why weren't you made anchor person when you first came to KSTP? You had the looks and the personality, but you said you were a news director. Why did they put, like, Ron Majors in before you?
Well, Ron, okay, at the time Ron Majors came in, I was a reporter. I hate to use the past tense. I like to think I'm still a reporter. I miss it. But I was the legislative correspondent then, and very much in love with that position and very happy to continue in that capacity. Ron just happened to come along at that time, 1974, as the anchor person. I don't feel I had the seasoning at that point. I hadn't done any anchoring at that point, really. I did some backup from time to time, but really my interests flowed almost entirely to covering the legislature and the state government news, and that's where I wanted to be.
Okay. Well,
I thank you for your nice remarks.
As long as you're talking about the legislature, is it because I'm Republican, or do you guys seem to pick on the Republicans all the time, especially Reagan? It seems like you're always creating errors that he's made, even if he hasn't made them. And I'm not saying that you necessarily do that, but I know a lot of the newscasters do. They never seem to stress the positive things that he's doing. They always emphasize...
Ma'am, you're saying that they the media creates those errors, even if he hasn't made them. Are you assuming, or are you suggesting that the president hasn't made those errors?
Well, he has come before the camera after they had said that he made mistakes and said, this is true, this is the way it is, and I didn't make any mistakes.
Uh-huh.
Oh. And I'm wondering why you guys, you know, emphasize any mistakes or create them for
First
him.
Of all, with due respect, if Jimmy Carter was the subject of the matter, as opposed to President Reagan, I think that Carter would say the same thing. He would feel that
Absolutely.
The media was anti-Carter.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely, and I was Dick. That's you. You.
But why do you emphasize all the negatives? Why do the presidents have to defend themselves?
Fair point. Okay.
Well, the president asked to represent you and me, and he's accountable. He has the most powerful job we can confer upon any individual. I'm not saying that we should not report the positive things he does, and that has been done. You know, the social psychologists tell us that we, all of us, operate by something called selective perception. We tend to blot out that with which we don't agree, and we accentuate that tends to confirm our prejudices. If we believe that Reagan's getting a bad press, we're going to pick out those things that tend to confirm that and see that looming larger than the positive things that are said about an individual. And I realize the sensitivities. And, ma'am, I suppose the fact is that you are a Republican. You're more sensitive to that.
Right.
Many
yep.
Democrats probably felt that Carter was savaged by the media, unfairly criticized. And I'm sure that I know there have been some excesses in criticizing Reagan and Carter and LBJ, and go right down through history. It happens. We're not a perfect institution. We've got to be careful. You help us be careful because you tell us when we're going too far. We have to, we also are professionals, and I think we know when we're out of balance. And we're a pretty good self-correcting institution, too.
Ma'am, I appreciate
we need your help.
646-8255.
Good morning. This is meteorologist Ron Trenda with your exclusive 1500 KSTP radar weather forecast. Twin Cities forecast calls for mostly cloudy skies this afternoon with a good chance of rain developing late in the afternoon, becoming mixed with or changing to snow for tonight. Highs this afternoon will be in the lower 40s, then lows tonight in the lower 30s. Variable cloudiness and mild for tomorrow with a few flurries possible. Highs tomorrow in the upper 30s. Winds will be east to southeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour this afternoon and tonight. The chance of measurable precipitation is 50% for late this afternoon and tonight. Currently, we have partly sunny skies, winds from the southeast at 7 miles per hour. Our temperature is 38 degrees, headed towards the lower 40s.
When you've got the feeling to squeeze in a lunch, or grab something good that's easy to munch, of all the ways you could eat today,
wouldn't it be nice to have another way?
Express yourself with a Deli Express.
Just walk in the door of a neighborhood store.
Express yourself with a Deli Express. When you're big on the hungries and short on time,
you don't have to stand in line.
Express yourself with a Deli Express.
From burgers to burritos, chuck wagons to chili dogs,
why don't you express yourself?
Start your day off right with a delicious Deli Express ham and buttermilk biscuit sandwich. Only 59 cents this week at Super America stores. Come on, get in there and express yourself.
Express yourself
Hi, this is Michelle Lee with a reminder from KSTP. A one-day presentation of the Jesus Weekend program will be held at St. Jerome's Parish on Saturday, starting at 8:30 a.m. For further information, call 292-4222. 292-4222. KSTP News Plus Radio, keeping you in touch.
11:53, it's 38 degrees, the Dick Pomeranz program. For the remainder of the program, Stan Turner, anchorman at Channel 5. Good morning on KSTP.
Well, I was waiting. One fellow touched on this topic, but my question is, again, you know, the freedom that management gives the news department of what to cover and not to cover. The reason I ask this, when Ron Majors was interviewed on Channel 2 by Gary Gilson, Gary asked him the same question, and Ron Majors said that when he was anchor, the Hubbards did enter into what should be covered and what should not. He mentioned explicitly that the Hubbards did not want coverage of the Minneapolis newspaper strike.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dick, I'm pleased to have an opportunity to respond to that, because I was at that meeting when those words were made. My recollection is Ron was not in that meeting. I was there, and what was said was, among upper management, we were just oftentimes talk about our coverage of ongoing stories, and the question was raised as to whether we were overdoing this story. The volume of our coverage, really, I thought, was adequate for the story. It's a matter of record. You can go back and look at our scripts. That story was in no way proscribed. It was not ignored. It was not downplayed. And certainly there was no order that issued that we could not run the story. But there's such a thing sometimes, we being in the news business, when some of our counterparts, say in print, have a problem, a strike or whatever, maybe we attach a greater importance to that story.
Right.
Maybe that was happening. I'm not so sure it was. I told the people here I was satisfied that our coverage was not overdone, nor was it underplayed. I thought it was struck a pretty good balance. We did some good sidebars. The issue of compensation to the reporters once their copy is put into a computer and spit out elsewhere in other publications around the country. It's an interesting topic, especially interesting to us in the business. Maybe a little more so than it should have been. Appreciate it.
Management was more cutting back than prohibiting.
No, they didn't do either. They were merely, as management should do, they questioned the balance of the story. Every time we go long in a story, we're cutting out, we're you know, taking away time from something else. So that's a prerogative of management. They're not dictating, and nor do they intend to dictate, and they did not.
Appreciate the call, sir. Do you miss doing editorials? Would you like to do editorials? Would you like to do analysis, personally?
I make a distinction between editorials.
I would agree with you.
Analysis,
yeah.
Yes. Analytical pieces are good. What I would like to do, if I had the time to do it, Dick, is do some analytical pieces at the legislature, kind of overview pieces. I don't mean to sound pretentious about that, but I still do know a lot of people in the mix up there at the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcia Fleur does a fantastic job. It's you know, she covers more ground than any one individual can up there. I don't know how she does, and she gives us an excellent index of what went on there today. She does not have the time to give the big picture some days, exactly, you know, what the ebb and the flow, what's going on, you know, why is this caucus doing what it's doing? Why do we see so many drunk driving bills coming up at this point in time? Drunk driving has been a problem for a long time. Why are those bills coming to the fore now? I think there are some reasons for that an analytical piece might address.
If you were approached 5-10 years from now, having been an anchorman for X number of years, to run politically, would you?
I wouldn't do it. There have been some people in television who have tried that, and it doesn't translate very well.
However, whether it be television or certainly, let's go back to movies, evidently for some it has been very successful.
Mm-hmm. It has. I guess at a very strictly a personal level, and it has to be, doesn't it? I don't have that desire to be in the arena. I'd rather be sitting around it in front row seats, watching it and reporting it. I find maybe ultimately more good can be done that way. But I admire the people who do make considerable sacrifice to run for public office.
I agree with you there.
It is. I mean, I really am not out of line when I say it is my firm conviction that the large majority of the men and women who get into politics are honorable, hardworking people. I've seen some, of course, on the other end of the scale, and they're always there. But basically, these people do make sacrifices. I would rather report on what they do.
If there was one
thing,
the good
and the bad,
briefly put, that you could put it succinctly, that you would say that being an anchorman you like the most and being an anchorman you dislike the most, what would be the like and the dislike the most?
The like would be hopefully presenting what a great number of solid journalists have done that day. That is, being the the front person, the person who is kind of, like I said before, stitching it all together. And
you're almost a disseminator.
Very satisfying to disseminate a good product. That's true of anything, and more often than not, we, I believe, do that here. So to draw on the very same example, the days that I know we have not acquitted ourselves very well, that we missed some major stories or didn't do very well, and
you are aware of it when you do that?
Sure. I feel it. I go home and I...
It's a gut feeling.
Yeah. I've let down the viewer, but fortunately, because of the people we have here, that's a rarity.
One more brief call for Stan Turner. Good morning on KSTP.
Good morning. I have a quick question. Is all the newscasts, are all the newscasts live even after, like, Monday Night Football?
They are indeed. I'm always surprised to hear how many people believe that we are taped, that the newscasts are routinely taped. They're not. There are tape segments, sir, of course. Some of the reporter stories, most of those are pre-recorded, but they are timely, of course. They were put together just sometimes just a matter of seconds or minutes before we go to air. But the part that you see with the anchor people and the weather and the sports, that's live no matter what time we go on. The other night it was 11:32 after the high school hockey. There's no way you can put news in the can and have it keep. It spoils real quickly. It's got to be live by its nature.
Okay, sir?
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
One final question. Or two. One. Mm-hmm. I asked John Bachman, asked Pat Miles, are you happy?
Very. I am.
More so than perhaps you might have thought you would be?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been unhappy?
Oh, sure.
Really?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. The second question is, if you were to leave tomorrow, the Twin Cities, which I hope personally and professionally you won't.
Dick, excuse me, before you go, when you ask me, have I ever been unhappy?
Yeah.
Well, we've all been unhappy.
I
mean, what do you
unhappy
mean
as a person. Unhappy with yourself.
Oh, sure, sure.
And today you are happy with yourself.
More days than not. I mean, I feel good about life, about things, about the people I work with. And
content?
Hence, yes.
Mm. What do you want your legacy to have been in the Twin Cities? As an anchorman.
That I was part of something that was good, that made a contribution, that we helped give a large number of people at least a notion, a sense of what is going on in their community and in their world. And hopefully, and here's the part I really mean, is a part of whatever legacy there is, and that is that we excited enough attention for people to go on and want to learn more about it. We gave you a summary tonight. Now, did that pique your interest? Did that stimulate you enough
to go out
and find out more? And maybe make a difference. Maybe vote for somebody who ultimately made a difference. I've never understood this rivalry between newspapers and television, especially. It's very bitter in this area. We're complementary media.
And should be.
And should be. We're there for a public service.
To you, Stan Turner, and to John Bachman in the first hour, and Pat Miles, on behalf of the audience, thank you.
Thank you, Dick.
A quick note. Tony Burden of Channel 9... Mm-hmm. He was not meant to be excluded for those who have called in, including Tony himself. Tony, there's no other way to put it to you, and I'm saying this, I've never met you. I look forward to having you on the program, but what we were trying to do was put as many people and make it as productive as possible. I promise, if you will agree, I'd love to have you on the program as well. On behalf of my producer and the two Davids and Greg, thank you all, and thank you to the audience.
This is John McDougall, KSTP News Plus Radio. Budget negotiators at the Capitol have broken for lunch and the St. Patrick's Day parade without reaching a solution. The Republicans claim victory in the St. Paul primary and a crackdown on outstanding traffic tickets coming up in Hennepin County. Details on those stories and much more right after Paul Harvey News at noon. KSTP's exclusive radar weather forecast, rain developing late this afternoon, possibly changing to snow tonight. Today's high 42, tonight's low 32. Right now it's 38 degrees, and this is the Noon Report on KSTP News Plus Radio.
Dr. Marilyn Mason is next on KSTP.
Right after the news.
Don't touch that dial.
KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
It's lunchtime.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.